Hello and welcome to the Hardworking Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel Perez, and this is a podcast for first generation Christian dads. We've got given marching orders. So if you're just tuning in this podcast and missed the last episode, I encourage you to go back and listen. First generation Christian fathers. And here we are. We're getting into the new year. Gentlemen, I hope you're getting a good start on the goals that you have for the year. I tried not to have too many goals because I just get so caught up in these goals that they become, how can I say this without sounding like I'm just whining or I'm giving up? But it just becomes so much that if I don't hit these goals, then I'm a failure, then I'm a this. And I don't know, sometimes I think I just need to be. I just need to not exercise twice a day, 7 days a week, but just exercise 4 days a week. You know, just be something that is more easy, or not easy, but attainable for me, my life. Like, not, don't eat junk food. Just, hey, no, 5-6 days a week, eat healthy, and then, you know, have some junk food. Moderation, I guess, is what I'm looking for. And sustainability. Yes, that's those are the two things that I'm hoping I can be better at this year, is just being sustainable in things that are better for me, and not being all out and burning out. Coffee sip. All right, so this week has been a good week. One thing that's really brought me back, our church, they do a fast every about the first of the year. So I did do a fast 6-6, no food. One thing I just really fell back into the rhythm of was sitting with God. Waking up early, because my mornings have been kind of hectic. I just wake up and started, I just kind of lost that premise of waking up and sitting with God, reading his word. I've been doing that, but I've also been doing a lot of commentary just because I felt I needed some teaching. But there was a reading plan with our church, and so I was following up with that, reading Hebrews, and man, it just, what a good book. But a lot of times I would just sit there with God. And let me read a little bit of my utmost for his highest, because it really just, it hit me. This was a couple days out of the week. Let's see if I can find it. I actually wasn't planning on going over this in the podcast. This, my whole episode that I planned might just be completely derailed because I just went on this tangent. But have you ever been alone with God? It says, when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Mark 4:34. Our solitude with him, we can only be used by God after we allow him to show us the deep, hidden areas of our own character. Jesus will reveal to us everything we have held within ourselves before his grace began to work. The only one who understands us is God. Whenever there is any element of pride or conceit remaining, Jesus can't teach us anything. Many things are shown to us, often without effect, but when God gets us alone over them, they will be clear. And, you know, it really speaks to me, because I think this last year, I think I really got caught up in pride and being conceited. And, you know, it's one of those things that just creeps in. It's never how you start. It's never how you plan on operating. It's just somewhere along the line, you find you start getting prideful. You find you start feeling, you know, I'm acting conceited, you know, thinking of myself. And, you know, that's eventually, I think that just comes as the trials come, you get battle weary, and then eventually you just, what about me? What about me? Why isn't this? You know, then we start questioning. We start asking these questions. And I think that is one of the battles we face as men, is always having to make that decision to choose to trust God, to put our faith in him. And I just want to give a shout out to my brother, Matt Knoll, the frontline man. Gentlemen, I'm sure if you're hearing this podcast, you've probably listened to his podcast because I feel like he always gives me shout outs in our prayer group. But he is such a man of faith and such a man that when the going gets tough, he will be like, yes, I'm going to choose to trust in God. I don't understand, but I know God's doing something, even when he's struggling. And it's been such an encouragement for me, such an example of a man who is choosing to trust God and not let the battles bring him down, not let the battles deter his faith, but keeping his eyes on the Lord. And I've truly gotten to witness that. And I think this last year, we've had some battles together, and I fell prey to pride and being conceited. And this is just a year where a word the Lord gave to me was humility. Last year, I think the word, I'm going to butcher it now because I wasn't planning on sharing that part, but adversity. That was a word I got last year. And I think I talked about it earlier on a podcast, was adversity. And it was one of those years where there was a lot of adversity. And you know, you can't really trust a man if he hasn't gone through adversity. You can't trust a man if his faith really hasn't been tested, because you don't know the measure of the man who has not been tested. I don't know, that sounds like it's a quote somewhere. But last year was a year of adversity and being tested, and the measure was probably not as good as it could have been. You know, I did fall prey to pride and conceitedness, just like, you know, we're reading about in that Utmost for His Highest. And this year, I felt the Lord tell me humility. Humility. And really just taking a seat at the lower end of the table. And that's a concept from Becoming King by Morgan Snyder. We must be men who are willing to take a seat at the lower end of the table. You know, everyone wants to sit at the high table. Everyone wants to be next to the big wigs, or, you know, have a good place. No one wants to sit at those lower end of the tables. It's like you go into this banquet. You see all the cool people, all the popular people, or the people you know, people you're comfortable, people you want to hang out with. And then you see a table where there's probably a few people by themselves, not really talking, quiet, look pretty shy, pretty reserved, not really your friends, not people you know, not people you're comfortable with, but it's taking a seat with them and just getting to know them, humbling yourself, not being like, oh, I don't want to be in the middle of everything. I want to be at the best seat. I want, you know, that's kind of the example I think about it, because I've been in those situations where I've walked into, like I had a father-son ministry I went to, or a father-son camp. And I remember walking in, and I was invited by my friends who were playing they were playing all the worship for the event. And so I didn't go to the church. I didn't know a lot of the people who were there. I didn't know anybody there, actually. But they were the worship band. And so there, you know, when I came in, I remember feeling, I don't even know where to sit with my son. And I found this table, and it was just a dad and a boy. And I sat there, but then my friend and his wife, they looked at me and they called me up and said, hey, we saved you a seat. And, you know, I felt bad because I just got up and left. And I said, hi, hey, how you guys doing? And it was just kind of, you know, I'm sure he was probably the same way as me. Like, didn't know anybody here with his son. And then, you know, I just left him to go sit essentially probably at the cool table because these were the worship guys. And you know, that just comes to my mind. But this year is a year of humility. And it's something that I will have to practice again and again and again. But these are the things that the Lord has shown me in spending time with him. If I didn't sit there and take the time to just do nothing. You know, so often I think we feel like in order to spend time with the Lord, we have to be praying, we have to be reading the Bible, we have to be doing some kind of study or reading a book. Have you ever tried just sitting there? Letting your thoughts go, asking God, what do you got, God? You know, maybe not in such a informal manner, but I mean, sometimes I'm just sitting there and I'm just drinking my coffee. You know, I will put on some like William Augusta worship music and just let it kind of hit me and just sit with God. Sorry, I keep looking at my battery. I don't know if my battery on this thing is, my mic is about to go out. Red can't be a good sign. I think I'm going to have to check that out. All right. So far, so good. It's recording. But then the next day, this was January 12th. January 13th was, have you ever been alone with God? Part 2, essentially. When he was alone, the 12 asked him. Mark 4, verse 10. His solitude with us. When God gets absolutely alone and we are totally speechless, unable to ask even one question, then he begins to teach us. As your journey with God, the only thing he intends to be clear is the way he deals with your soul. Are we alone with him now? Jesus cannot teach us anything until we quiet all our intellectual questions and get alone with him. And that right there, it speaks to me because I think so often I can come to God with wants and needs. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But is that the two-way conversation that's going to grow my heart? You know, you can come with your wants and needs, but if you're not waiting for what God has to say, you know, you're just talking. And so it's that alone time. It's allowing him to speak into these things, allowing him to minister to your soul in the way that it needs. And we can only get that in just sitting alone with God. So have you spent time alone with God? Have you given him that space to really lead and guide? If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. It's honestly one of the easiest but hardest things to do. By the way, I love coffee. If you guys want some good coffee, I would recommend Mariposa Coffee Company. That's where I get my coffee. I even got a mug here, but it's good coffee. Side note, side plug. But yeah, it is the hardest, easiest, but hardest thing to do. Because I think as men, we want to check the box. We want to do. You know, we're doers. We're not idle. And I think if we are idle, then we start to be lazy. If we want to be idle, we want to be lazy and not do anything. I mean, I think it's fine. Some days I just don't want to do anything. Nothing wrong with that. No shame. But I mean, when it comes to God, we may feel that we always have to be doing something. But God calls us like the Martha and Mary. You know, Martha was making the meal. She's doing the stuff that she needs to do. She's doing the stuff that is preparing the meal for essentially Jesus and everyone else. But Mary is the one who's sitting there at his feet. Both are good things, but which one grew the heart and the soul? Mary. Mary sitting at the feet. That's the one that Jesus says she's doing a good thing. And not a Bible scholar, but I believe it is important for us to just sit at the feet of Jesus and wait. No agenda, no intellectual questions, like he says. Like, don't even, you know, I just said, you know, have we asked them our questions and we listen? Sometimes we don't even need to ask the question. Sometimes we just need to sit there and let him speak into our hearts. I find the most I get from God is when I'm not asking questions, when I'm not seeking an answer, but just sitting with him. So this week has been really great because I have been getting up early and just sitting there drinking my cup of coffee, exactly like this, sitting at my kitchen table and just sitting. And it's really just a practice sit with Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to let our minds just be. We feel like we're always trying to direct and it can be hard to just quiet the mind to even listen. But sometimes you just got to let those thoughts, let yourself be, and it quiets your mind. So something to practice. I didn't plan on going there, but it just resonated with me. So a funny story, and I think this is what being fathered by God was. It was an example that God ministered to me, taking a whole nother direction, guys. I was running, walking with my son. We have a pedal car, so he has a Hot Wheels pedal car, and he loves it. Got it for Christmas, so he's doing that. And it was funny. He was driving, and he just, sometimes he gets so excited, he starts steering the wheel left and right, and he steers the wheel right off the path into the rocks, and he starts freaking out. He's like, "Dad, help me, I'm stuck, Dad." And I stopped, and I could have done, one thing is you can go and help them, I could have helped my son, just picked him up, got him out of there, steered, put him back on the path, we're good to go. But I don't know, I felt a pausing, because I looked at my son, who was just totally upset, totally freaking out, and I was just like, "Hey, calm down, take a deep breath." And he took a deep breath. I said, "Okay, you can do it. Pull your car out." And he pulled his car out. He was still kind of mad, but he gets out, pulls it out of the rocks, puts it back in front. I said, "Now get in and keep pedaling." And he does it, but he was kind of upset, but he did it. He got himself out and got him back on the road, and then before you know it, he's having a grand old time. And in that moment, I felt God say, that's been me fathering you through this year. Because that fit that my son threw was the same fits that I throw. When I think, "God, I need help. I'm derailed. The plans I had didn't go the way I wanted to. And now I'm stuck here on the side of the road. Help me. Get me out of here. Do something." And I'm freaking out. I'm being emotionally charged and erratic, just like my son. And God in his goodness isn't just gonna pick me up and put me on the right path, because is that gonna help me? Would it have helped my son if I just corrected him for it? And like just got him up, fixed it? Because then he actually doesn't know what to do the next time he goes off the path. He's just going to repeat the same thing. I'm going to pick him up and do that. And I think there's many times that God does that in our lives where he does pick us up. But then he sees probably it's not actually working. Now you're not actually, getting out. You're actually not choosing to trust me in these moments. You're actually not choosing to get to move yourself out of this place. You just want to be stuck here now and just throw a fit. And he cares about our hearts. He cares about our souls, that he wants us to actually have the tools to get out, recorrect our path. And it was just like this one moment where I was just like, that is me. And so I encourage you, I would encourage you that when you're in these moments of feeling derailed, feeling stuck, asking God, "Where are you? Are you going to help me? Are you going to come through for me?" Take a moment. Take a deep breath. Assess the situation. What is the next best thing? I think we have to ask ourselves that, because I think sometimes God wants us to be able to operate, not without him, but operate with him. My son was operating under my guidance. He was doing the things he needed to do. I wasn't doing it for him anymore. But under my guidance, he was getting himself out. He was getting himself back on the path. And I think that is the heart of our Father, is he wants to guide us out of the path. He's not going to pick us up and just do it for us, because we won't learn. We won't grow. But he's going to guide us. But only when we calm down. Only when we're not so involved in the situation that we can't see anything else past the tip of our nose. That's when God comes through. And that's how God comes through. That's how he fathers. And it was just that moment that I realized, yep, that's me. And it was just like, thanks, God. Because, you look at your son, you're like, "Why are you being so crazy? Why are you getting so irate over this? It's not a big deal." But that's God showing me, and that's just, and it's also just the humor of God, really, to just show me, like, hey, that little kid right there is actually how you're acting. And so those are moments that I appreciate, want to share here, because I believe as those first generation Christian dads, we will encounter many of those moments because it's new. We're exercising faith where we necessarily didn't really have faith. We're exercising a new muscle of trusting God as a father. Whatever background you had, if you're a Christian, you're a new Christian, maybe I came from a Catholic background, so I understood who God was, but there wasn't an intimate relationship with him. There wasn't this fathering going on. So for me, it's really hard to grasp that concept. It's easy for me to believe. Yeah, God's there. I've believed God my whole life. But to actually know that I can have that relationship, that I can trust him as a father, that I would look to him to guide me and not just be this God in the sky that blesses and curses those, blesses who he blesses and curses who he curses, but actually an intimate God, one who desires a relationship with me. That is hard to comprehend. And I believe it's going to be a huge struggle for us as first generation Christian dads to cultivate that and cultivate that in a way that we can walk in it while leading our family, while leading our wives and our kids in it. I can't tell you how many times I feel insecure about that, but it's just the process. And so I would encourage you to hopefully not get discouraged when you feel like you're on your own, when you feel like God has kind of left you to figure it out on your own, that is not the case. We just need to take a breath and reassess and see where he's leading us. Do the next best thing. I don't know why, but I always just think Frozen, that movie. You know, those songs, they had a lot of good messages. Into the Unknown, Do the Next Best Thing. I don't even think that's the title. I don't know if you can hear my kids slamming doors right now. Oh, I just heard my son say, don't slam the door. And now my son's screaming and freaking out because he told him not to slam the door. The joys of parenting and podcasting. And I believe he's going to come in my room soon. No, he's going to my wife. Anyways, sorry, you guys, just let you in on that. But a couple things in this journey of humility. I just want to say, if you're interested in the course, I've talked about it in past episodes. Previously was for sale. Now I'm just really getting back to what my whole purpose was, and that was to really help and encourage first dads, but really this my people of first generation Christian dads. And there's this course that I created. If you would like it, it is free for you. All you have to do is email me at theheartworkingdad@gmail.com, and I will send you all the links and all the PDF files, and you're free to just take it and go on your journey with it. And hopefully it will help you. Hopefully it will encourage you. Really just help you on that journey to leading your family and growing your heart and your faith. So with that, and to be honest, a lot of it is really just accumulation of knowledge that I've taken from reading these books. A lot of it is there's a lot of Wild at Heart stuff, a lot of John Eldridge, Morgan Snyder. So it's not really even so original, but it is put in a way that I've digested it and how I've applied it to my life. And so I'm hoping that it just would encourage you guys. And that's why it's free. It's free. But I would recommend you guys read the books, and I even say it, Wild at Heart, Fathered by God, Becoming a King. These books have changed my life. It was actually one of the things that started me on this journey was Wild at Heart, and I was part of the Order of Man group. I don't know what you call it. maybe it's just order of man, I forget. But reached out to a bunch of strangers. Hey, I really want to go through this book. I feel it's going to help me. Does anyone want to go through the study guide? And four guys answered that call, became good friends. I led that group in the study guide, and honestly, it was life-changing. It was great, and it really just set me on a path. So I would really encourage you guys, if you're looking for something like that, find a group of guys in your church. Find a group of men that you can go through Wild at Heart together. It is going to change your life. It is going to form friendships and bonds that are much needed in our journey of being Christian, being that Christian man to lead his family. So with that, I'll let you go. Catch you on the next episode. I want to pray. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm forgetting the things that I wanted to make priority in my podcast. So wherever you are, don't stop what you're doing, but I would love to pray as I close out this podcast episode. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, I just come to pray over the men who are hearing this podcast. Lord, that you would be a father to them, to the areas in their hearts that are unfathered, Lord. Lord, often we don't even know these areas. We don't even know that we needed to be fathered, Lord, but you know our hearts so intricately. And as we journey with you to deeper levels, Lord, you, just like a heart surgeon, so carefully open these areas up, and they can be painful, they can be surprising, Lord, but I pray that we would open these areas to you and allow you to father us. Holy Spirit, give us the wisdom and your guidance, your insight into what is speaking into our hearts. Help us to find space for you, Lord, to speak. Help us find space in our days that we would just honor and give to you to move. Lord, we would surrender any wants or needs and just go to you for your presence. That you would bring an awareness of your presence and help us in being still. And knowing that you are God and worthy to just be adored, be worshipped, be praised. And so I pray that throughout the day you will open up time for the men to sit with you and grow in your grace, and that you would continue to encourage and strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.